To Zimbabwe now. The government crackdown and the social media shutdown seems to have stifled, for the moment, the high level of protest that occurred earlier this week following the announcement over the weekend by Zimbabwe's president before heading off for a summit with Russia, and which made Zimbabwean petrol the most expensive in the world. Over 30 rand, 34 rand a litre, I think it is. Over 53 rands, now 53 rand a litre, by nearly 150%. The opposition, MDC, in Zimbabwe has said, South Africa, you are the biggest player in the Southern African region. You must help. You must help us sort this out. And the leading opposition party in South Africa, the Democratic Alliance, has also said Cyril Ramaphosa must act. Cyril Ramaphosa and the South African government must intervene. Dr. Shingai Mutizwa Mangiza is a postdoc doctoral fellow in the Department of Political Studies at the University of the Western Cape. Shingai, good afternoon. Do you agree with a South African rather than a SADC intervention? And what might that intervention be?
Good afternoon, John. Thank you. Yes, in regards to the Zimbabwean crisis, it wouldn't be the first time that South Africa has intervened. However, in regards to the type of intervention, it would probably still, I think, have to be on the diplomatic front. Admittedly, it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be along the lines of the previous attempts, which is mainly around this quiet diplomacy. But what I quite suspect is that if South Africa were to get involved, we'd probably likely see an attempt at some sort of constructive engagement between the government and the opposition and other various stakeholders within the economy, because the current economic crisis and the ongoing fuel crisis and the clampdown is not something that is, that affects the opposition alone. I think it affects, all stakeholders and all Zimbabweans at large. So I'd expect the South African government if it were to intervene, would actually do so trying to bring the relevant or the key stakeholders together, with an idea of trying to resolve the impasse.
It seems unlikely that South Africa would act on its own, though, Shingai. South Africa is always, for good reasons or reasons of not wanting to get personally involved, said this must be a SADC matter, that there is an organ of safety and security. There are various organs within the SADC body that are responsible for issues within a member state that threaten to spill over the borders of that member state.
Yes, that's correct, John. In fact, any interventions that have taken place within the Southern African region have actually broadly been sanctioned under the auspices of the security and defense organ of SADC. Now, South Africa, what this would imply would necessarily be probably an extraordinary summit of the heads of state, where a resolution would be taking, either mandating one of the states involved. Usually it's the state that holds the rotating chair of the security and defense cluster. To my knowledge, I think it's still South Africa. So under those circumstances, that would, South Africa would then be mandated by SADC to intervene. Another possible angle, which we also haven't taken into account, is the possibility of the AU sanctioning SADC to actually take the lead on this. And within that ambit as well, South Africa could also have its role delineated in terms of the way forward.
But what would be the reason for an intervention? SADC and South Africa would be loath to say you made a mistake by increasing the price of fuel by 150%. The sort of ostensible reason for the involvement would be there has been protest. That protest doesn't appear to have been handled with the necessary sort of observation of the rights of people to peaceful protest and so on. On what grounds would SADC or South Africa, under the guiding protocols, justify an intervention?
Ordinarily, what would happen with that if, for instance, there is the perception of a significant deterioration in the public order, or rather law and order within the country, and that would be one circumstance under which they would get involved. The other thing we also have to remember is that there's also this idea that the threat, if, for instance, the current crisis leads to precipitates an even greater crisis, let's say it could, if it possibly sparks a large flows of out migration, across the borders, that again would possibly necessitate some sort of intervention. So I think any situation that would see a deterioration, as I said, in the in law and order, to a particular threshold that is untenable, an appearance of possible destabilization of the region, I think those would ordinarily be the circumstances under which they would get involved. But bear in mind that, of course, that usually SADC, and at least from what I've observed from presidents from Durco, is that they have adopted a stance that is saying that more or less is saying that Zimbabwe, the elite would prefer to leave Zimbabwe to handle the circumstances.
Let's not intervene in the internal affairs of another country.
Because, yes, sovereignty, essentially. Issues of sovereignty and whatnot.
That business of law and order deteriorating to a point where there is instability, I mean, that's not happening because of a particularly vicious crackdown, technological and quasi, if not fully military, reaction by the Zimbabwean authorities. So, by keeping such a thorough lid on the ability to organize and creating such fear about what would happen should one organize a protest, they maintaining a superficial level of law and order.
Arguably, that would appear to be the case, in the sense that the prevailing information blackout and the shutdown of various social media sites, which ordinarily would be the apparatus to be used in terms of mobilizing popular support in terms of anti-government protests. That, of course, has made it, very difficult, for ordinary Zimbabweans to participate. I think also, to further to that point, we must not also forget the fact that the very cause of the crisis, which is namely the fuel hikes, will also play a significant part, I think, in as far as trying to organize or coordinate, any sort of widespread response countrywide, amongst various stakeholders. So I think that, the various costs, of transport, which I suppose, would arise in light of this fuel increase, would also make it even more difficult, I suppose, to that extent to organize. I mean, you could probably argue that the costs of public transport as well, and transporting people to central locations, etc., would also be that much more challenging under the circumstances. And given the fuel queues as well that we had seen in previous days, there's no indication that those have subsided. That would also pose a significant logistical challenge, I think, to that extent.
Dr. Shingai Mutiswa Mangiza, thank you very much indeed. Zimbabwean by birth, postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Political Studies at the University of the Western Cape.